This episode of the Citadel Cafe is brought to you by listeners like you. Visit patreon.com/joelduggan to find out how you can become a patron and help make this show possible.
This is the Citadel Cafe.
This is the Citadel Cafe, episode number 142 for Wednesday, April 8th, 2015. My name is Joel Duggan, and the Citadel Cafe is where my friends and I hang out to talk about the geeky stuff that we are into. We cover everything from movies and television to books, apps, and websites. Joining me, as per usual, on the second week of the month is Mr. Lou Page of Zombies Ate My Podcast and Off the Cuff. Welcome, sir.
Thank you for having me yet again.
Deja vu. On a monthly basis, yeah. Yeah,
I always look forward to the second Tuesday of the month.
Me too. And we had a funny discussion because, of course, the first Wednesday of the month was the first,
yes.
April 1st. So you're like, I'm not on until next week. It's like, nope, this is technically the second Wednesday.
Yep. No, it worked out good because I am not caught up on Game of Thrones yet. So I was like, I need to marathon last weekend. And then I went, no, I don't.
Yeah.
Okay. Good.
I agree. And I know I mentioned this last week, folks, but we'll get into it one more time just for the sake of clarity. As of this Sunday, April 12th, Game of Thrones Season 5 will be back in your eyeballs. I'm really excited because that means that the Winter is Coming segment to the Citadel Cafe is also returning. And that means that this show becomes a spoiler zone for Game of Thrones. That is the only thing we talk about. That is the only thing we dream about. It's the only thing that we podcast and want you to talk to us about. So hopefully we will get a number of people on the show that have been watching the show and keeping up. I know that Hammond is trying to catch up. He's on vacation right now, and he said he's going to watch a few seasons. Well, we're looking forward to it here. I hope you are looking forward to it as well. I wasn't as excited this season. I have decided to participate in zero hype. I don't watch trailers. Yep. I don't look at pictures. Nothing. I know zip about what's going to happen. I have no visuals for what this season is going to look like. And it's weird that I made that decision because I remember season 4 watching the trailer and getting really excited because you get to see Drogon and all kinds of cool stuff. But this time I thought, you know, I want to be surprised because now we are entering in territory in Game of Thrones on the TV show where they're starting to mishmash books and stuff that I haven't seen or haven't read, I guess, in the books.
Okay. So you caught up to Dance of Dragons?
The television show. I've read Dances with Dragons.
Okay.
The television show has not.
The show is going beyond.
Here's the thing. And we'll get into this next week, I'm sure, too. But book 4 and book 5 were written as one book.
Yep.
The publisher decided to split them.
Yeah.
Game of Thrones season 4 ended around the beginning of this giant book.
Okay.
But it was starting to pull from all their other stories within it. So I think because of clarity for telling the story on TV, one, book 4 and 5 are going to have to be combined. And that's just a lot of material to remember. So I am not going to be able to really understand, or I won't be able to predict as easily, you know, what's going to happen kind of this season, even though I've read the books. But the other thing is that I feel like they're starting to pull from, and I think they've even said, and this is just me catching a little, you know, kind of water cooler talk, and that is that I think that George R.R. Martin is going to be pulling from the books that he's writing now.
Yes.
In terms of having it feel more cohesive and have it be a better television show, which is fine. I like that idea. So it's going to be more of a surprise for me this season than I think any other season before. And so that's why I've been staying away from all kinds of social media and spoiler articles and rumors and all this other kind of stuff. Yeah. So next week, Winter is Coming returns to the Citadel Cafe, and I am stoked. And I'm sure once you're caught up, Lou, we will have you on.
I'm only a season behind, so I don't have that far to catch up.
Yeah, and I dare you not to watch more than a few in a row.
Oh, no. It will probably be either... It probably won't be this weekend, because I have... Daredevil to watch coming this weekend. But probably the following weekend, I'll probably marathon the whole season over the weekend.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, it's definitely one of those things that you want to have the time to watch. It's like Lord of the Rings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Right on. Well, we can move into what we've been doing this week. And to kind of, I guess, branch off of what I had mentioned last week on the show. And last week's show only got published today. Sorry about that, folks. I had every intention of doing the editing on, I guess it was Good Friday, but I ended up working on an illustration deadline, and it was something that really needed my attention. And then the weekend got away from me, and family and stuff have all been returning from Florida, so it slipped it slipped the to-do list until this morning. So it's out there now, the episode 141 called Heroes of the Storm. And that's one of the things that I've been doing this week, is playing more Heroes of the Storm. I mean, Lou, I know that you're a gamer, and one of the few guests that I have on that is a gamer. Have you tested Heroes? Are you in the beta?
I am in the beta, but I only got into the beta maybe 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
My co-host, Bob, happened to get a bunch of keys.
Oh, very cool.
And was like, are you playing? And I'm like, actually, no, I'm not. He's like, here you go. So I've only played about a dozen games, and I'm pretty much just been playing as Jim Raynor.
Okay. How do you like Raynor?
So far, he's exactly how I like to play.
Oh,
I like range characters, and I like characters that basically can deal a lot of damage at range. And I don't like playing support, and I'm not good with melee.
Yeah, see, I found him a really interesting kind of mix. And I mean, I can see why he is the tutorial character. Because of the ability that you have to inspire the minions and inspire your teammates. So he's very good he's not a support as in like a support healer, but he's a support character in that he will buff people and make them more dangerous. And I think that was really, really cool. I found him, I don't want to say boring, because you can certainly keep yourself busy with any character in this game. But I found myself a little bit less concerned about, you know, how many abilities I'm using, how often my stuff is on cooldown. Like, it was pretty, it was a lot of auto attacking, and what am I auto attacking? And I hear that someone had mentioned, after I was kind of done playing Raynor and I have moved on to another character, I heard someone mention that, you know, in early game and even up at the mid game with Heroes, if you're Raynor, you can focus on buildings and really get a lot of XP for your team.
Yep.
Because you can really focus down buildings. And it never occurred to me, you know, to do that. That's one of the things I'm really enjoying about Heroes, is that it's just kind of growing, you know, as I'm getting to know. Because I've got very little experience with MOBAs, so it's been an interesting experience.
I have played a few MOBAs. There was a zombie MOBA by people that do Dead Island. They did a zombie MOBA, and I was part of that beta, and it's really boring. It's really focused on making you spend real money.
Mm, yeah.
And I was like, this is not what I wanted.
Yeah.
It was like right even in the beta, they were like, yeah, we want you to spend real. I was like, it's a beta. I'm not spending real money if I can help it on a beta for a game that's not by a publisher that I trust very well.
Mm.
Since
last week, I've spent money. I spent $5. I'm not sure if I mentioned that last week or not, but I spent $5 on 3 heroes, which I think that's price point for me.
Yeah.
Some heroes are like $12. I can't see myself paying more than I would for, you know, an iPad game for one particular character. But I really enjoy the fact that they have these bundles. And if they're characters that you don't own already, or characters that you want, then $5 for a mount, which, I mean, I don't really pay much attention to the mounts. They look cool, but I don't have that kind of like salivating need to have the cool mount, which may change. I'm not saying never. But being able to buy 3 heroes for $5 to me seemed like, yeah, okay, that's, you know, $1.60 a piece. That's perfect.
I will say this. What I like most about Heroes of the Storm is it takes out all the crap I hate about MOBAs and leaves it to the wayside. I want to just run around as my character, shoot stuff, kill stuff, buff stuff, take down buildings, and get the game done. I did play Dota 2 for a while, And there is this minutia of having to buy items in-game.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do not buy things in the right order, you literally shouldn't even be playing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is not fun. I don't want to constantly... I don't want to have to worry that, something's going on in the house, and I turn my head for a second to see what's going on, and then look back at the screen, and it's like, oh, the game is over because you've messed up, and now the other team has too many. Like, Heroes of the Storm, I can focus, but if I get dragged away for about 10 seconds, it's not the end of the world.
Yeah. I've been listening to a lot of back episodes of Into the Nexus with Garrett and Kyle. Now that I'm playing the game, I can keep up with the lingo, and I understand what they're talking about. I don't know as much as they do, because obviously they've been steeped in it since the technical alpha, but what I like about it, like when you level up with a hero, you have four choices. That's it. You can read them pretty quick. If you're at home base, it doesn't take very long to choose which one you want. I find a lot of them are, for me, they appeal to your playstyle. It's like, are you healing? No. Okay, well then you don't have to read the rest of this one. Are you looking for more damage or more range? I'll take that one. You know, done. Decision made. And as you play a character off more like over and over, you do start to remember, because you've only got, one, three, seven, 10, 13, 16. So there's seven levels and four abilities per level or four talents per level.
Yeah.
So after a while, you kind of memorize the ones that you're looking for. And I'm now hearing these talents being mentioned on podcasts or YouTube channels, and I'm remembering what they are, and I know what they do. And so, like, it's not, because I've played Dota, and it's not the massive list of, like, this something sword or these magical boots that make no sense. Like, they have no kind of bearing on your character, whereas the other character that I tried this week was Malfurion, who I didn't think I was going to like, because he's mainly a healer. But I looked up a DPS build for him, and I really enjoyed it. It was like smiting people with moonfire. And that's the thing. All of the abilities for this build kind of augment this one moonfire ability that he has. I'm getting the name of it wrong. Save your emails. Please don't send them to me. He's a druid, so a lot of his powers are based on this moon ability. And all of the talents have like lunar flare or lunar vengeance, or you know, they have moon names, so that when you're going through, you can really quickly pick out the one with the moon symbol next to it, knowing that's the one that you want for this talent level, and you're good to go. That for me, I think was something that they did right in Heroes of the Storm. As I've been playing more, and more has been required of me, I feel like I'm able to follow.
It definitely has a better learning curve than something like Dota.
Mm-hmm.
You definitely can jump in, not really know what you're doing, and you're not going to truly mess up a match too bad.
Yeah.
You can stumble your way through. Like, my first match, I had no idea what I was doing. I still won and was like, okay, so all those deaths I had didn't really affect the game that much. Okay, I'm okay.
Yeah. Yeah, Bob is making fun of me in the chat room for saying Moonfire. I think it might be Lunar Flare. I think that might be the actual name of the ability, but it's got something to do with fire and moons. That's all I know. There's no farting involved, though. So that's all I really have to say about Heroes of the Storm. We covered a lot last week, and I don't think there's really much more to say. I'm looking forward to trying new heroes. Heroes was down all day today because they're installing a patch, so I'm anticipating some new heroes to be available. They announced some really cool ones at PAX East, so I'm looking to see if those are going to be available. Because usually what happens, according to, pattern, is that when they announce the new heroes, they make them free to play because they want people to test them out and try to break them.
Yeah, I heard a rumor, I can't remember if it was at PAX or prior to PAX, that a character called Blackthorn is being added.
Blackthorn.
And he's from an old Blizzard game before they were, like, when they first became Blizzard. He is like the Lost Vikings character, basically.
Okay.
But he's a guy with a shotgun in his game. So I'm hoping that he gets added because it's one of my favorite games.
Oh, yeah? Is Blackthorn the name of the game?
It's the name of the game. It's the name of the guy.
Interesting. That should be fun. Well, what else have you been up to this week, man? I mean, or this month, because it's been a while since we've talked.
It has been a while. For Zombies Ate My Podcast, our next episode, which will be next week, we are covering the Dead Rising movie that Sony just put out. It's free, and it is on a service called Crackle. So I had to download Crackle so that I could watch it. And Crackle is, I believe it's owned by Sony, and they put up TV shows and movies, and that's where this was found. But while surfing Crackle, I stumbled across something that really excited me that I've wanted to see, but I haven't wanted to pay any money for it. And there was an animated Avengers movie done in Japan. It's basically an Avengers anime, and it's called Avengers Confidential, Black Widow, and The Punisher.
Nice.
I didn't know what to expect. I had seen a trailer probably a year or so ago when they announced it.
Yeah, I watched the trailer. Right. I watched the trailer from the link that you put in the notes.
And it's anime and it's Avengers and there's lots and lots and lots of action. It's done by a really popular anime studio called Madhouse. They do a lot of stuff. They do video games. They do movies. They do TV shows. They're really, really popular. While it's really fun to watch, there ain't a whole lot of plot.
Oh, yeah?
It's really just, okay, we're going to have the Punisher blow up a bunch of guys. We're going to have the Punisher shoot a bunch of guys. Okay, Black Widow is going to now have a fist fight with somebody. All right. And there's your movie.
Yeah.
And then the last maybe, it's about an hour and 10 minutes. About the last 10 minutes, all of a sudden, Tony Stark, Captain Marvel, Hulk, and a bunch of people show up at the very end, and there's a huge fight.
Yeah, it's funny, because the trailer's like, featuring the Avengers, and there's all these shots of the Avengers, and to hear that it's only the end of the fight is kind of...
it's literally like the last 10 minutes. Black Widow and the Punisher are going in after something. They're trying to stop these guys from basically creating biological mutated soldiers. Mm. It's very generic Avengers plot insert here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the voice acting is decent. The animation is very good.
Well, isn't Steve Blum one of the voice actors?
Yes, I think he is the voice of the Punisher.
Yeah, sorry, Brian Bloom. Sorry. Brian Bloom is the voice of the Punisher. And he's a voice actor. Like, he's got a long list of, like, Ninja Turtles and other cartoons that he's done. But it's like the trailer was, like, featuring the voice talents of Jennifer Carpenter. I'm just like, Jennifer Carpenter is a film actor. Like, she's not actor.
She does fine.
Mm.
And everybody in it does fine. The voice acting is great. The script is just kind of like...
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Nick Fury's going to be a jerk in this one. Then they introduce Black Widow's wannabe boyfriend kind of thing. And you're like, I don't know who this is. Why are we... Okay, he's a bad guy? Is he a good... Okay. It's kind of nonsensical. It's really just there to show Black Widow and the Punisher blow up a bunch of buildings, kill a bunch of guys.
Yeah, the fight scenes look pretty cool. Like, the animation and the fight scenes looked like it was well done. But, I mean, as most anime usually is.
Yeah. It's a good watch. I wouldn't suggest anybody go out and buy it. Mm-hmm. But it is on Crackle for free. I watched it, and I had to sit through, like, 3 commercials.
Mm, very cool.
And then it wasn't bad. So.
So we, I mean, I've got Crackle here in Canada. It's an app on the Apple TV. Yep. I have never encountered commercials on that, unless maybe it was a pre-roll and I'm not remembering, because I don't really go in there that often. Phil Root in the chat room is mentioning that Crackle is a good service. There's a lot of crap, but there's some hidden gems. And that's where my patience runs out, is that it's like scrolling and scrolling and scrolling. And I never usually find something I want to watch. Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee was one show that I found. I feel like I might have watched one of the Spider-Man movies, because it's all Sony stuff.
Yeah.
It was one of the Spider-Man movies that was available on Crackle but wasn't available on Netflix. So I thought, you know, okay, that's easy enough. I don't I know Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee had a little ads at the beginning of them, but they're really small shorts.
Yeah.
I don't remember an ad for the movie. Were the ads at the beginning, or were they like intermixed?
There was one in the beginning, one in the middle, and one at the end.
Huh.
And I know that I used the service probably like maybe a year or two ago, because there was something that someone told me was on there. I was like, oh, I'll do that. And then there was nothing else on there that I was interested in watching.
Mm.
So I went, okay, I guess I'll delete this app. And then, like I said, there is a Dead Rising movie that has been done exclusively for Crackle. So we're looking for zombie stuff to talk about on Zamp. And it was like, hey, wait, there's a new movie to watch. I guess we can watch this on here. So I downloaded it, and it was about a dozen movies. I was like, wait a minute, I can't get this on Netflix. I can't get this on Hulu. I guess I'm going to keep this app for a little while longer. So
yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm okay. I mean, I watch YouTube stuff all the time. A lot of YouTube content that I consume has an ad in front of it, and the new app for the Apple TV, you can just kind of hit next and skip the ad just like you would on a website.
Yep, and
it's fine. I'm okay with watching an ad before content, especially if I'm watching like a half an hour tutorial video or something like that, and there's a two-minute ad, like whatever. I might even just let the ad play while I get a drink, you know? Like, I'm not too concerned about that kind of stuff. I do not like interruptive content ads. Like, I just bookend it, fine, sure, I'll deal. But don't, if I'm watching something streaming, and it, I mean, even though it's free, like, I feel like it's just, it'll make me not use your app at all if there's ads that interrupt what I'm watching.
Well, I will say this. I use Hulu here in the States.
Mm.
I know you guys don't have it in Canada. And I pay for Hulu Plus, but they still give me commercials. But I don't mind Hulu commercials. It's like where the commercial break in your show would be, they insert a commercial, and it's usually a 30-second commercial, and you're back to the show.
Yeah.
So it usually gives me a chance to get up, get something out of the fridge, and come back, and the show's starting again. You know what I mean?
And standing up every half an hour is not a bad thing for you, you know? Like,
no.
It's not a bad idea to get up and stretch your legs once in a while when you're marathoning a bunch of, like, stuff from Hulu. I find it odd that people that pay for Hulu get ads. I would see, you know, Hulu saying, hey, it's free, but there's ads. Or pay, and then there's no ads. Like, that's what I would be expecting.
Basically, you can get anything you want off their website for free.
Mm.
Except for a few shows that have chosen that they don't want to be free. And what you pay for is the ability to stream it to your TV.
Right.
Is basically what you're paying for.
Right.
And I don't want to sit in front of my computer screen watching stuff all the time. So I pay. It's only, I think it's $8 a month. It's not the end of the world.
No. That's what Netflix costs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of streaming services, I forgot to mention this earlier when we were talking about Game of Thrones, and that is HBO has now got a dedicated streaming service for you lucky Americans. It's not going to be something that I can take advantage of, which is just like, it's like, take my money, HBO, just take it, and they can't have it for whatever reason. I'm sure it's got something to do with either copyright in Canada or who's got the rights as far as the big cable companies. I think it's Bell. I'm not sure. Content would be so cool.
It would be very cool. Problem is, you have to have an Apple TV.
Hmm. I didn't realize it was exclusive. Okay.
It's exclusive to Apple TV for the first few months.
Hmm.
So I won't be watching it that way.
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, some people are not going to be able to access that. The other thing that I think is a little prohibitive, and I would pay it only because I've experienced enough HBO content to understand its value, and that's $15 a month.
Yes. No, my wife and I recently had the discussion that when it becomes available to us, which I believe is only going to be in a couple of months, I was like, well, I think we'll be paying for HBO on top of all of our other stuff. My wife was like, I don't know. And I'm like, have you ever had HBO? And she's like, no. I'm like, there's stuff that's going to be available for us to watch movie-wise is going to be really cool compared to what we have on Netflix and stuff.
Yeah, and then you've also got the back catalogs. I mean, Rome and Sopranos, yep. The Wire. Like, there's a lot of stuff that was all the rage a few years ago. I missed out on it. I'm sure it's good content. I know it's good content. People that I trust rave about this stuff. But I just don't have access. And really, I mean, here's the thing. I mean, in these days, I could download. If I really wanted to watch The Sopranos, I could find it, you know?
Yep.
Yeah, but there's that much content, and it's that much trouble that at this point I'm just like, you know what? It's just not worth it. I don't want to file and organize and try to watch and try to find working copies of how many seasons of The Sopranos? Six? Seven?
Seven,
you know,
eight,
like,
I think.
Yeah, like I did not interested. You know, now something like The Pacific or, you know, another miniseries. Yeah, sure. I would probably go find that. For example, I have to find alternative means of watching Game of Thrones. Sometimes I go over to a friend's place. I mean, it depends on what, yep, what's been happening. But, you know, that's a show that I would pay for. I would pay for just that one show.
Yep.
If I could.
I will say it kills me because I don't have cable. I am a cord cutter.
Mm-hmm.
I paid for what we watch Walking Dead for our show, Zombies Ate My Podcast. I cannot stream it anywhere. I cannot find it everywhere. I have to buy my episodes piecemeal every week. On Monday, I would pay for the episode on Amazon and watch it. I'm not going to be able to do that for Game of Thrones. Because they're not going to sell them to me individually.
No.
So I'm probably going to have to go talk to my friend that has HBO.
Yeah. So how much were the Walking Dead episodes?
I got them in standard def, but they're normally like $2 or $3 a piece.
Yeah, it's not the end of the world. How long? How many episodes is that season now?
10.
That's not too bad.
No, wait. It was 16. Sorry, 16.
That's still... You know,
so it wasn't bad. It
was, yeah, you're under $30. And yeah, now, are you paying to stream them or are you paying to download them? And you
paying
own them?
To own them.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's not bad.
So it's not bad.
Yeah. I mean, I've always found, I know people that collect DVD series of television, you know, shows before streaming was a real thing.
Yeah.
You know, owning like season 3 of Smallville on DVD was a thing. And they're like $60 or $70 for some seasons. And I just, you know, you're 26 episodes and yeah, it's on DVD. So you don't have to worry about bandwidth and streaming and all that kind of stuff. But there's a certain price point that I think an hour long drama hits for me. And I think it's around $2.
I think it was like $3 for HD and $2 for...
Yeah.
And it depended on like how I was feeling, whether I bought it in HD or standard.
And
there was going to be a plot episode. I went, yeah, I don't really need to see the zombie gore. There's not going to be any zombie gore. I can watch the people just act.
Yeah. And the other thing too is that there's something a little bit more advantageous about paying and downloading versus just a streaming service, and that is that your content is going to be better as far as like watching it off of a hard drive, having all the audio local. I mean, video, I get 1080p Netflix and it looks pretty damn sharp, but I can tell the difference between audio on a Blu-ray and audio on Netflix. It's still surround, but it's not perfect. It's not, you can just tell that it's not quite there. Because sound at that level just takes a lot of bandwidth. And I think that, you know, for some shows that I would really like, downloading them and watching them over and over again. Here's the thing. With TV shows, I don't tend to re-watch them. Movies, I do.
If it depends. There's certain shows I might re-watch like once every year or two, mm-hmm, but not very many. There's like maybe one or two.
Yeah. I've had situations where I've had friends that have not seen TV show X. And, you know, we'll get in and watch it together for something fun to do. Avatar, Last Airbender, for example. I think I've watched that twice. But, for the most part, I just kind of go through it the once. Like, I won't be going back and watching Clone Wars. I mean, it's great. It's Star Wars. I love the movies. I've seen the movies probably 100 times. But I probably won't go back and rewatch the cartoon.
No.
Yeah. For me this week, I have actually been spending a lot of time on another extended cable show. It was on Starz. It was called Spartacus. Did you see this?
I've seen the first two episodes of the first season.
Okay. So you need to stick with it because it gets, I remember that situation and it takes a while to get going.
Okay. Cause that was kind of my issue is I was like, I don't know where this is going and it's kind of losing me really
right
fast.
Well, I mean, everybody knows like kind of Spartacus. It's an older movie. It's about a gladiator that wins his freedom or fights for his freedom. And the thing about it is in the first season they start before he's even a gladiator. Like he's not even a slave yet. So it does take a little while to get going. I remember having this conversation actually with my father because he was watching it because he had seen an advertisement for it. And said, hey, you should watch it. He said, stick with it. You know, it gets better. And I dropped off. I had watched the first couple of seasons. And I mean, like, I should put this disclaimer out there. It is a violent, violent show. It's not for kids. It's not for young adults. It is for adults.
Yes.
So there's also a lot of sex. There's a lot of non-consensual sex. There's a lot of girl on girl, guy on guy. Like, there's a lot of different situations. And they don't make a big deal about it, but it's just always in your face all the time. The gladiators are naked half the time. Like, it is pardon the pun, but the balls in some of these actors to be on film nude, like, for hours on end. It's just I don't know how they did it. Yeah. There's a lot of man wiener happening in this show. I mean, I'm a little bit less sensitive about it because I did life drawing in school. So I mean, like, I'm used to being around that kind of stuff.
It doesn't bother me.
Yeah, it doesn't. I mean, it doesn't bother me, but I don't, it's not like, I feel like it's well, you know what it probably is. It's probably HBO. I've seen Rome. I've seen some other HBO shows where there's a lot of frontal nudity. And I'm not shocked at all when an extended cable network puts some boobs on the screen a lot or naked men.
I was gonna say, I think the first episode I was shocked because I had forgotten it was on Stars and it was on a pay series. And for some reason, I had thought it was on like FX or something where they usually can't do stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I remember the first episode being like, oh, okay, this is not on regular television. Okay.
Yeah, Phil in the chat room is asking if it's like Game of Thrones. It is way more graphic than Game of Thrones. Game of Thrones does not hold anything on this. The difference is that Game of Thrones has more shock value because there are characters that you get to know in Game of Thrones, and when they meet their end or when bad things happen to them, it shocks you because of the unexpectedness of it. In Spartacus, people are dying all the time. And you can see it coming. You know when Joe Blow, actor in the show, you know, in the episode, is gonna, he's not a main guy, you know he's probably gonna buy it. But it's the way they buy it that really kind of sets you off. Like, sometimes it's not just chopping off someone's head. Sometimes someone's heads are chopped from ear to ear, not from, you know, shoulder to shoulder. And it's gross. Like, you can see, oh, there's the nasal cavity and the brain, and there's blood going everywhere. And it's very 300-esque as far as the action is concerned. They slow things down. I mean, it's a beautifully choreographed show. And I really got into it after the first two seasons. But I stopped in 2011 or 2012, around season 3, when Andy Whitfield, the main actor, passed away. He had cancer, and he didn't make it as far as they thought he was going to, and which is too bad because he was a very, very good actor, and he brought a lot to the show. And I had a really difficult time getting used to the new guy. I mean, it's that thing where, like, you know, for example, you know, the voice of Optimus Prime, when that guy changes, when they put somebody else as the voice of Optimus Prime, no one's going to like it, right? It's ingrained in you, right?
They're going to have to find a guy who can do his voice and not be cheesy about it.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what they're going to have to do.
So when Whitfield passed away and they replaced him with, oh gosh, I'm blanking on his name right now. I thought I had the IMDb page open. I don't.
It is Liam McIntyre.
Yes, thank you. Who is a very good actor, and honestly, I think maybe I might actually like him better than Whitfield now. But I got back into the series because, what was his name again? McIntyre?
Liam McIntyre.
McIntyre was on The Flash. He played a villain, just like a bit part for a couple episodes. He's got a really deep voice. And I'm just like, where have I heard that voice before? So, of course, I look him up and I realize, oh, he was in Spartacus? And this, I got confused because, like, that's not Spartacus. I don't remember him. But it's because he was the guy that was in, like, I watched one episode of season 3. And I was like, nope, I'm done. I didn't like where they were going with one of the other main characters, Crixus, who's played by Manu Bennett. That's Deathstroke from Arrow. And actually, he plays the Azog, the white orc in The Hobbit, which I thought was really cool, too. But I like him. He's a good actor. But I didn't like where they're going with that character. And you get sick of it after two seasons of it. Mm-hmm. But it's really shortly after the start of season three that they start to take Crixus in a different direction. And you see the bonds that happen between Spartacus and Crixus and stuff like that. It's not a huge spoiler. Once everybody's kind of into season three, you kind of know where it's going. And man, all of the violence and the nudity and all that kind of shock value aside, the things that this show has going for it, it did a fantastic job of escalating from small sets, gladiator arenas, one-on-one fights, to rebel rousing, you know, maybe you're taking villas, to wide open Roman army battlefield stuff. I mean, it is cinema quality events that happen throughout this series. And they pull no punches. Like, you really know that they wanted to do this show right. They also escalate the plot in the same way. The characters grow, the plot changes, it also grows and gets more complex. You have to worry about, like, spies, and it's no longer just, like, the simple brotherhood of gladiators. There's infighting. Like, it really, really gets good. It just takes a little while to make that shift from the gladiator arena of seasons one and two to the outright rebellion in seasons three and four. I highly recommend it. It's a very, very good show. Again, just not great for, you know, if you have got little kids in the room or really even teenagers. I wouldn't let anybody under the age of 21 watch the show.
I was gonna say, when I watched the first episode, I was like, okay. And then I went into the second episode and I was like, I don't know. I don't know if I this is interests me, but after what you've said, I'm probably going to go back and stick through a couple more episodes.
Yeah, you really should. I mean, it does get into some stuff where, like, it knows the demographic that it's aiming for. Like, it's basically college-age boys, basically men under 30 is really the target age. And it's not shy about it. Like, they're not trying to hide it. So in that way, it's not campy. Like, you don't roll your eyes so much. If something really over the top happens, you kind of laugh, you know, like you kind of laugh it's hard to say. It sounds like a horrible sexist thing to say, but it's like when you're joking around with the boys, you know, like it's that kind of stuff. That you joked about when you were in high school. Like, it just, yeah, it's in terms of, like, the violence and the, when you went to go see an action movie and somebody got shot and their head exploded and you all went, whoa, in the movie theater. Like, that's what's happening in this show. You know, when someone gets just destroyed by some of the weapons that they have in the show are just, like, over the top. Because they have, when they first get out, they don't have, like, armaments. They don't have swords and shields and stuff like that. So they're sharpening everything they can get their hands on, like sticks and farming implements. And like, so some of the ways that people die, it's just like, ugh. not really my thing. There's some good actors in it too. I mean, Peter Mensah is a great actor. Lucy Lawless is in it. Viva Bianca is in it. I had never seen her in anything before the show, but I got to tell you, I have got a huge TV crush on Viva Bianca. She is a talented actor and she plays kind of a villain in the show, and she's very good at it.
That's always good to find good villains.
She's seductive as a villain. I mean, it's funny because if you look at some photos of her online, like, she's got a very unique look to her. But the way that they have her, I guess, portrayed in Spartacus, it's weird because she's seductive, but she's psychotic. Like, you know, like, it's not necessarily someone you'd want to be around, but there's something very interesting about her character, very alluring about it. So, Spartacus, highly, highly recommend. Anything else from you this week, my friend?
Well, I talked about it on a previous show. I believe it is episode 116. I talked about a comic that was being adapted into a TV show.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, called iZombie.
Mm-hmm. You're right. It was 116.
Yep. And the comic is very good, and it was being adapted into a TV show. And the creator of the TV show, who is not the creator of the comic, said he liked the show, but it is on the CW. And the CW has a lot of supernatural shows. It's got a vampire show. It's got a werewolf show. It's got a show about demons and monsters. And now it has a zombie show. And to help it stand out, and because he didn't want to feel like he was stealing from the other shows on the network, there are no werewolves and vampires and things like that from the comic in the show. It is just about zombies. They've even gone as far as to change the lead character's name. In the comic, her name is Gwen. In the show, her name is Liv. Actually, her full name in the show is Liv Moore. So, we get the comic book pun.
That's great.
But the show, it's very... basic premise is med student gets attacked at a party, wakes up on a beach, a zombie, and realizes that the only way she can stay functioning is she has to eat brains. Or she starts to lose herself and turn into a zombie. So she takes a job with the city morgue. And when nobody's looking, she starts stealing brains from the cadavers.
Gross.
And so, the premise is every time she eats a brain, she has to eat a brain once a month to stay human. And when she eats a brain, she gets their memories.
Does she have to eat the whole brain?
They hint that she has to space it out a little bit. But she eats a brain, and she starts seeing what happened to them when they died. And the only person who knows that she's a zombie is the guy that works in the morgue with her. He is a former CDC guy who was fired from the CDC because he believes in zombies. And he thought that there was a real problem, that zombies were real, and the CDC fired him. So he figures out she's a zombie right away. And the two of them have like this, he's the only person she can talk to about these things. So everybody else just thinks she's gone from normal girl to goth. And because her hair turns blonde and she's normally a brunette, she's really pasty pale now and she used to have tan skin. And so he's the only one that understands she's a zombie.
Only on the CW.
Yep.
Only on the CW. Wow.
But anyway, so he helps her figure out stuff, and they've convinced one of the detectives in the department that she's psychic. So if she eats the brain of a cadaver of a case he's on, he brings her along so that she can kind of tell him what happened to the guy, because she has vibes when they go to a place where the guy has been, or where they found the body, or where they meet somebody that knew the victim. And it leads them in some interesting directions. It's not as predictable as you'd think it would be. In one case, one episode, the guy that she eats the brain for, come to find out, he was a bad guy. He was a hitman. But there is like a bigger plot going on throughout the episode. And they need to figure out who he killed. And they end up figuring out that there's other victims in the morgue, that he is the guy that killed them.
Oh, wow.
And like, they're trying to figure out who hired him, is what ends up happening. And that's interesting.
Yeah, that's a cool idea. I like the idea of the villain being dead in the morgue, and they're kind of reverse engineering the plot, as opposed to what you would think, which would be every week she's eating the brain of a victim, and then they have to go find who killed them. But if she's remembering, you know, this guy murdering someone, and then she recognizes that person as being another body in the morgue, like that presents something a little bit more interesting. Oh yeah, yep. I'm glad they're getting a little bit more, I guess, in depth with it. Now, is that from the comic? Is that kind of a plot twist from the comic?
The comic, she is a grave digger in the comic.
Oh.
And the only way to get them out of her head is for her to try and help their spirit at peace. And the creator of the show said that was way too hard to get. He worried too much about trying to establish that as a regular theme in a TV show for a network audience. So he came up with the idea of putting her in a morgue because it might make it easier to do that.
I also feel like there's a lot of monologuing in comics, like inner monologuing that
actually helps. That is one thing this show does really well. She narrates every episode.
Oh, cool.
And everything is a monologue with her. And she talks kind of talks to you, the audience, but not looking at the camera kind of thing. Yeah. And they do it really well. If you've ever seen the show Veronica Mars, it's the same creator of that is the creator of this as a TV show. And he does very much the same things he did with that show.
I feel like I'm envisioning this Doogie Howser kind of like diet journal at the end of the day where she's talking about like the consistency of the brain and whether or not it tastes chicken and stuff like that.
Yes, yes. And she talks about how gross brain is and how much she doesn't really want to eat the brain and how she can only taste it if she puts hot sauce on it.
So she doesn't have craving for brains then?
She does, but only because she's hungry and it's the only thing that sustains her. I mean, it's clever. It's funny. They also introduced there are other zombies like her, but the other zombies may not be as nice as her. Like, they introduce a guy who might be trying to create a horde of zombies. And it's done in a clever way. It's not traditionally the way you would. It's definitely CW, but it's more in the vein of Arrow or The Flash.
Right. Yeah. A little bit of a sense of humor to it.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I like shows that don't take themselves too seriously sometimes. I mean, there's a time and place for all of it, right? I mean, we all want Game of Thrones to be taken seriously.
Yeah.
You know, but something like iZombie, I think you can probably get away with some humor. Especially because traditionally in zombie genres, there's usually some humor in there.
Oh, and they do one thing that is usually forbidden in most zombie TV shows or movies. They refer to them as zombies.
Yeah.
It's like, yep, I'm a zombie. Like that's one of the first lines out of the show. And my favorite thing about the show, which is worth watching at least the first episode just so you can see it, is to tie itself into the comic, they regularly cut between scenes. Like when they come back from commercial break, the scene begins in comic book form and then materializes into the actors and the scene begins.
Oh, that's cool.
And they do, or they'll be like, the narration will begin like with like a comic book cutscene, and it will tell you where they are in the comic book, like at the bank of the river. And then, bam, it cuts into at the bank of the river and what's going on there. And it's very well done.
Oh, that's cool.
I'm hoping it's something they continue throughout the show. It gives it something different compared to other murder mystery shows that are out there.
Right on. I've got one more mention before we move on to the Internet Minute, and it's going to be quick because there's not a whole lot to say about it. But I watched The Last Stand that popped up on Netflix, and it is a Schwarzenegger film. And I might be mistaken, but it might be the first film that he made when he came back after being governor of California.
Yes, it was.
It's not bad. It's not amazing. But in the vein of what we were just talking about, it doesn't pretend to be something it's not.
Yeah.
It's good action. There's some realistic stuff. He's old, like he's not a young man. He doesn't pretend to be, which I thought was great. You know,
yes.
I am down for like the grumpy Clint Eastwood Schwarzenegger. Like it is, cause he's still a big dude, you know, even though he's 60, 70, he's up there.
Yeah, he's in his 60s, I believe.
I think he's 5 years younger than my dad. So I think he's 65.
Yeah.
But either way, you know, he's still kind of a presence on screen. He's got that glare, you know, that he can do. There's a lot of one-liners, you know, like welcome to my town and stuff like that. And it's fine. It because it's Schwarzenegger and you kind of know what to expect. But it also had a lot of really cool high-tech stuff. It had a lot of really cool chase scenes. There's some great driving and great car stunts in it. And some really, really good fight scenes. The only thing that really stands out as horrible, horrible cheese is a green screen scene at the end. It's terrible.
Yeah.
It must have been an afterthought because something must have been wrong with the footage and they had to fix it or reshoot it because it's just garbage. Which is weird because the actual fight that's happening is really good. It's really visceral and it's not, again, Schwarzenegger coming in and one punching the bad guy and like, yeah, I win. He's 65. Like there's a struggle, you know, it's really well done. It was on Netflix. It just cropped up the other day. And something I didn't mention before, which is one of the reasons I want to come back to Netflix, is that Spartacus was on Netflix here in Canada. So if you're looking to find it, that's where I was watching it. I forgot to mention that that's where I was actually watching it. Right on. Sorry, go ahead.
I would say I have seen it. It definitely gets a thumbs up from me. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's good. Like, it's again, you know,
it's not great. It's not amazing. It's nothing to write home about. But if you're looking for an action movie, it's definitely going to... it's definitely going to scratch that itch.
Yeah, I mean, it's not Predator. It's not Terminator. It's more of like a last action hero.
Yeah.
It's like a Red... Is it Red Sun? There's a couple of...
Jim Belushi.
Raw Deal. Yeah, it's all the stuff that he did kind of in between the big movies. Kind of like the 80s and the late 90s stuff. It just, you know, he does good films, he does bad films. But this is kind of smack in the middle.
Yep.
And that's what I mean by you know, knowing, or it meets expectations, I guess, is what the best way to put it. Right on. Well, that brings us to the Internet Minute, which is, of course, sponsored by tweakedaudio.com. You can visit that website for high-performance, noise-reducing earbuds, and they come in all kinds of different styles and colors. They work with MP3 players, smartphones, and if you use the code TCC at checkout, you'll get free shipping and 30% off your entire order. So that is tweakedaudio.com, and the code at checkout is TCC. I'll start off with a quick pick for me, just because there's really not much to say about it other than just you have to go watch this video. And that is the Azeroth Armory making gore howl video on YouTube from Blizzard Entertainment. They hired a blacksmith to make gore howl, which is one of the key weapons in the lore of Warcraft. It's wielded by Grommash Hellscream, who is, why am I blanking on the main villain's name? He's someone's dad. Garrosh. He's Garrosh's dad. Anyway, this thing is a huge war axe, and they paid this blacksmith to make it for real. And it's amazing to watch this guy turn this wooden handle and folded steel into a real axe. And the thing that stuck with me the most from the video was that in the interview with Blizzard... they're talking, I'm looking up the blacksmith's name right now, so I can actually, Tony Swatton is his name. And they're talking to Tony and they're kind of showing him drawings and scale of this axe. And he says, okay, I can't make that a solid piece. It would be 100 pounds. Like it would be unliftable. And that to me just kind of immediately made me think, but in Warcraft, these orcs swing it around like a baseball bat and throw it.
Yep.
So I'm thinking like, holy crap. Like the size of these orcs in this game, like you really start to get a feeling for scale, you know, and mass when you're thinking about, okay, wait a minute. This thing is, it's about the size of a small snow shovel as far as like kind of the snow shovel that you have in the trunk of your car. You know, like the 5-foot handled one, not the really big one.
Yeah.
And man, to think about 100-pound weapon being swung by what I can only assume is a 400-pound orc, you know, and imagine being a human, you know, even if you're a big human, like a big 6'4", 230-pound dude getting hit square in the chest, even with plate armor by a 100-pound axe, like.
If it doesn't smash your armor, it's going to definitely put you on the ground.
Oh my God, I guess it would. And this thing gets its name from the noise it makes when you throw it through the air. It howls, it spins and it makes a howling noise. That's where it got its name, Gorhow. I'm thinking like, can you imagine just like the sound it makes when it hits something? Like just that. You know, I can just imagine all of the giblets of people, gnomes and dwarves and humans flying everywhere. Anyway, it is an amazing video. It's not a super long one. It's only about 10 minutes. He goes into detail about how he made it and the process therein. And then they show it to Blizzard. And I mean, everybody's eyes just lights up. I hope this is not the last of these.
I'm going to inform you, the guy who does that, he has his own YouTube channel. It is called, and it's done in very much the same way this is done. Same guy, same blacksmith, same everything. He goes by the I think it's called Master at Arms Reforged, and he makes replicas of all kinds of stuff. He makes the Master Sword from Zelda.
I'm pretty sure I've featured him on the show before, yeah.
Yeah, so if you're looking for this sort of thing, his channel is nonstop. They put up one like almost every week.
Yeah, and I know he's done the sword. Is it the Power Sword from Thundercats?
Yes, yes he has.
Yeah, which I thought was really cool. Has he done He-Man's sword yet?
I feel like that must have been a thing. I don't think he has done He-Man's sword yet. I do know that last week, I believe he did the Master Shield from Zelda, where he made an actual shield, looked really cool.
Yeah, I mean, he does beautiful work. I mean, he's got a whole shop and some very cool sort of, there's some old school techniques with like, you know, an anvil and a hammer. But then there's also like a pneumatic hammer that he uses because it's 2015. Like, why wouldn't you have a machine that would save your joints and everything else, all the stress? But again, super, super cool video. What I see, this is the thing, speaking of hammers, this is where Blizzard needs to make some other weapons. Like, I want to see Doomhammer.
I have a funny feeling this is going to be a reoccurring thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Frostmourne. There's already a replica Frostmourne, but imagine like a real life size kind of Frostmourne. I mean, that would be, again, probably a problem for weight, given most of the Warcraft weapons are pretty out of sight. The other thing that I'd like to see, which is probably even more impossible, is some of the cool weapons that you see being used by the Tauren in the game, which are essentially like tree trunks with like metal studs on the end of them. I just think that would be, you know, it doesn't have to be swung by anybody, just to kind of sit in the corner, you know, just to kind of like wonder, geez. Because, I mean, I feel like the Tauren are the largest, they're not the tallest, but they're the largest heroes in the game.
I think they are.
Yeah. I know the Pandarans are pretty big, and I know that the Night Elves are the tallest, but they're still pretty elf-like in terms of being lanky. The Tauren are like giant minotaurs. They're pretty slick. All right. What's your pick this week?
So my pick is going to be pretty easy. If you're looking for something that's short, unfortunately, this is not short. It is 35 minutes. A movie reviewer for The Escapist who recently got laid off from The Escapist. He goes by the name Movie Bob online. Movie Bob decided that with all the negativity on the internet, he was going to do something different. He's even been a contributor to the negativity on the internet. So he's decided to do a web series called Really That Good. And the idea is he takes classic films or TV shows going back as far as he can remember and then goes into an in-depth discussion as to why it's really as good as you remember it and why it should definitely be something you go back and rewatch. And so Really That Good this week or this month, I'm not sure how often he's doing it, is Ghostbusters. And if you want to learn a lot about Ghostbusters, he goes into a lot of script writing ideas and details and why the script for this thing was a masterpiece. And it's definitely worth a watch.
Cool. Yeah, I like stuff like this when they get into like breaking down films. And usually my YouTube watching is not that long as far as these kind of things. Like, usually it's like, here's the top 10 movie plots of, you know, this decade. And you're like, oh yeah, I totally remember that movie. Or this is why that was important. But, you know, it breaks down a bunch of different topics in about 10 minutes. But, you know, the half an hour video sounds like he's really invested some time.
He is a professional movie reviewer. Like, that's how he makes a living.
Right. So he knows his stuff then.
So he knows his stuff. So when you watch it, it's like, he could do it short, but he doesn't really want to. And he includes clips of the movie in it to demonstrate the things he's talking about and stuff. So
how is he must, I guess, because it's criticism that it's for review purposes. He's using it under the right license. Yeah.
Yes. And he basically, there's a disclaimer before it begins and there's a disclaimer at the end that he's running clips from the movie and scenes from the movie and pieces from the movie and that he's for critical purposes only.
Right. Now, I mean, Does he only do movies that are good, or does he get into movies that you shouldn't go back and watch?
He used to do movies you should stay away from. That was what one of the segments he used to do on The Escapist.
Okay.
Now that he's doing it on his own, this is the first one he's done. So he's promising more very, very shortly. I'm assuming that it's going to be just stuff you should watch.
Right. Because that would be a difficult argument if someone says, hey, that's our content, please take it down off YouTube, when really he's championing the cause and saying, yes, you should go find this movie, buy it, rent it, stream it, you know.
Yes.
That would be a difficult argument to make if he was promoting the work.
And if you like his work, his website, he does a movie review every week, a video movie review of, like, stuff that's in theaters now. Like, he goes to premieres and then reviews them.
Right on. What's his website?
It is moviebob.com, I believe.
Well, that's it, folks. That brings us to the end of this episode of The Citadel Cafe. We record live every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern on thecitadelcafe.com/live. Our mobile audio stream is provided by Alpha Geek Radio. You can tune in to Alpha Geek Radio at tunein.alphageekradio.com. To find out how you can listen to on your favorite device for The Citadel Cafe, just choose Channel 1 at Showtime. Music for the show is composed by Kevin MacLeod, and this episode will be available on demand via iTunes and our website, thecitadelcafe.com, before next week, I promise. This is where you can also find the show notes for this episode. You can contact the show at thecitadelcafe@gmail.com, or you can find us by name on Twitter and Facebook. My name, as I mentioned at the top of the show, is Joel Duggan. You can find everything I am up to online at joelduggan.com. And a big thank you, as always, to our 16 supporters on Patreon, including Molly Springer. That is TCC fan in the chat room, if you're not familiar with her. She's usually here on a weekly basis. She had to step away for some educational reasons over the last few months, but we're hoping to have her back soon. So a big thanks to Molly. If you enjoy the show, please consider becoming a patron at patreon.com/joelduggan. For as little as $1 a month, you can help support the Citadel Cafe as well as my comic Starcrossed. You'll also get access to the Patreon only feed, where you'll see some rewards and some behind the scenes stuff. Our current milestone goal is just inches away at $100 a month, and that would be the subscription to the Adobe Creative Cloud, which would help me make even more cool content for you guys. You can also follow me on Twitter with just my name, Joel Duggan. Lou, where can people find you online?
The easiest way to find me is at BusyZombieLord on Twitter. You can also find me at ZombiesAteMyPodcast.com and OffTheCuffShow.com.
Cool.
And that is my new show.
I'm looking forward to checking the website out. It's been on my playlist. I haven't got to it yet, but it took me a little while to find the show on iTunes because of the different names and stuff that are out there. Yes. So I'm glad that you guys have a website home, because that makes things a lot easier.
Yes, it's a difficult show to find on iTunes. We're hoping to fix that.
You've been listening to The Citadel Cafe, where we are fast, easy, and cheap, but you can only pick two. Still working on that whole outro thing, and patron and Patreon are awful close.
Yes, they are.
And they get mixed up in the brain.
Either you,